Hey, Mama. I know getting meals on the table for your family can feel tough, especially finding weeknight-friendly meals that everyone in the family will love. There's a good chance it's why you're here, at least I hope so. Helping moms take the stress out of feeding their family is my biggest passion. It's why I share with you here, and it's why I created the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. If you've ever wished this podcast came with a weekly done-for-you dinner plan with a shopping list and meal prep tips, or maybe a recipe library with over 200 family-friendly recipes, cooking tips, how-tos, and hacks? Well, it does, and it's all in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club over on Patreon. Starting at just $3 a month for access to our 200-plus recipe vault with printable PDF recipes, or $5 a month for weekly done-for-you dinner plans, plus the recipe vault and bonus podcasts every month, the Healthy Mama Cooking Club is the dinnertime solution you're looking for. Head to patreon.com/healthymamachris or click the link in the show notes to try it out for a week free and join over 130 other busy mamas making weeknight meals work with the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. I can't wait to see you in there. All right, let's get on with the episode. Why is it that salads you get at a restaurant feel so much more satisfying than the ones you make at home? I want to change that. We are ditching the iceberg lettuce, sad tomatoes, and dry shredded carrot salads. Let's make some satisfying salads that are delicious, nutritious, and make you feel so good this spring and summer, and are substantial enough for a whole meal for the whole family. Does cooking feel like a struggle more often than you want to admit? Do school lunches get boring after the third week, and even cereal for breakfast sometimes feels like too much effort? Let alone feeding yourself and your family meals with vegetables they'll actually eat? If you're a busy mama like me, you can probably relate. I'm Chris Dovniak, and welcome to My Healthy Mama Kitchen. I'm a trained chef, culinary nutritionist, and mama of two, and I'm here to guide you in making healthy eating easy and accessible by simplifying your meal plan, demystifying meal prep, taking the stress out of weeknight dinners, and helping you learn to cook your family delicious, nutrient-dense meals along the way without spending hours in the kitchen or thousands of dollars a month at Whole Foods. In this podcast, I'm here to share my best tips, tools, and hacks for your real-life Healthy Mama Kitchen with a side of humor and sometimes a little bit of spice. So grab your favorite apron and let's get cooking. Welcome back to the Healthy Mama Kitchen podcast. I'm Chris Dovniak. I'm the founder of Healthy Mama Chris. I'm a trained chef and a busy mom just like you. And you all, first of all, happy April. How did that happen? Does anyone else feel like we blinked? It was New Year's Eve and now all of a sudden it's springtime? Like, absolutely crazy. And I also want to say thank you guys so much for your, I guess, support and how much you guys seem to enjoy last week's podcast. That was very chatty and different than a lot of the content that I share here on the podcast. I have been doing this podcast, well, recording this podcast for over 5 years now, which is insane. But over the course of 5 years, it's changed a lot. In the beginning, it was, you know, a lot more about just our overall balance as moms. It was a heavily guest-focused podcast. And then, of course, almost 2 years ago now, I switched to the Healthy Mama Kitchen podcast when I refocused my business to be back in the food world. And when I did that, it sort of became a how-to podcast. Most of my episodes are solo. I still love bringing on guests on occasion, like I started back in January, and we have a couple more coming up this year, at least that I've planned as well. But the solo episodes, for the most part, have been kind of how to use your air fryer, what is in season for this season that we're in, how to create, you know, let me think of my past podcast episodes, how to create shortcut meals, how to get breakfast on the table, how to meal prep. And there hasn't been so much of my own kind of personal stuff outside of the podcast where I was sharing our monthly meals, our daily meals for the whole month, which I am now sharing over on Patreon. patreon.com/healthymamachris if you want to join the Healthy Mama Cooking Club and get all of our recipes, bonus podcasts, so much more over there. But I haven't shared a whole lot of my life personally. I've kind of kept that off the podcast. And I really love that you guys enjoyed hearing how we're feeding our kids. You know, I dove a little bit into kind of what balance looks like for me and my family now when it comes to how we want to approach food for our kids. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, definitely go and give that a listen if that sounds interesting to you. But I definitely got a lot more personal than I have in the past. And if you haven't noticed, I'm actually recording podcasts kind of weekly now, which isn't something I've done in the past. I've done a lot of batch recording, and I'm sure there are seasons where I'll go back to batch recording again. But right now, I'm kind of enjoying just recording podcasts one a week, making it really easy and a little bit more casual for me. You know, I always have my outlines, but then, as you know, I'm a talker, so I always go off of my outlines. And I enjoyed kind of sharing a little bit more of that with all of you. So if you like more of that, please let me know. Let me know on Instagram at Healthy Mama Chris or Healthy Mama Kitchen Pot. I know I am behind in updating that account, but I will hopefully this week. We have some friends coming into town this week. Next week, we have family coming into town. And then we have a friend staying with us for almost 2 weeks in mid-April. So we've got a lot going on. But we have some really exciting things coming up in the Healthy Mama Chris world. I am working heavily on getting our brand new online. Well, I guess it's always been online. But my brand new digital meal planner and brand new recipe library up and ready for everyone. Fingers crossed in May. I mean, I said it was coming out in May, so I think it has to come out in May now. But we have over 200 recipes, close to 220. I think it's like 225, 226 recipes in the recipe vault right now, which is currently all on Google Drive. All of the recipes are PDFs that you can pull up on your phone or your desktop. You can download them. And that's going to be the same. You're still going to be able to pull it up on your phone or your tablet or your desktop. You're going to be able to download the PDF of all of them, but it's going to be so much more easily organized. You're going to be able to search by tags. All of the meal plans are going to be in one place. You're going to be able to add new recipes to the meal plans. Not new recipes, but recipes from, you know, the whole recipe library into your meal plan, swap things out, change serving sizes. I am so excited about it. It's been a huge undertaking, but I'm really, really excited to release that. So I've been working a lot on that in the back end. Many of you know that over the month of March, I shared 30 recipes on Instagram. So I was recording a ton of recipe videos, recipe testing for the April cookbook or the spring family cookbook that's coming out in the Cooking Club for Family Chef members. That's coming out on Friday, April 5th. I'm also super excited about that. Some really, really great recipes in there. Seasonal recipes, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So needless to say, life has been a little bit full lately, so I haven't had a lot of time to sit down and batch record podcasts. So when I had the idea for last week's podcast, it was literally just me sitting down with like the most general outline and chatting with all of you. And today is another episode, now that we're like 6 minutes in, where, I mean, I have an outline, of course, as always, but I want this to be a little bit more of a conversation. And if you enjoy that, I really want you to let me know, because I'll do more of that in the future if you, you know, if that's something you're into. If you like more of the how-tos, I also want to hear that too. And this is not going to turn into just me chatting about my life over here. It's definitely going to still be a how-to podcast, you know, giving you guys the best tips that I have on making meals easier, more delicious, less stressful, and healthy at the same time. But if you like that, definitely let me know. And thanks for letting me kind of ramble about a little bit before we jump into this episode. I kind of like giving you guys little life updates here and there, because I have been doing this for 5 years, and you feel like my community, you feel like my friends. So many of you on Instagram that I connect with on a regular basis. It's so fun to see your names over and over again, whether you're in the cooking club or on Instagram or both. I know you guys, and I feel like I truly, truly feel like you guys are my friends. Like, this is a community now. And I really, really love that aspect of being online and having built this really cool community. So if you haven't reached out and said, hey, I would love to meet you, you know, come over to Instagram at Healthy Mama Chris, say hi, let me know who you are, how long you've been listening to the podcast. If you're a new listener or you've been listening for years, I would love to hear from you. I really do love connecting with all of you. So that's my spiel. Absolutely off the cuff. There was no reason I needed to do that. Let's talk about salads. I love a good salad, especially when the weather is warm, but honestly, any time of the year. I am a huge salad fan, but I do not like a wimpy salad. I want my salad to be super, super satisfying. I want it to be super flavorful. I want it to smack me in the face with flavor, and I want it to keep me full for a long time. And your like iceberg lettuce, dry tomatoes, like, you know, the cucumber that looks like it's been sitting in the salad bar for like 13 days, and the carrots, the shredded carrots that are so dry and like white, that's not my style. I love a great salad, and it's one of the things I pride myself in both, you know, the cooking club and in my personal chef whenever I cook for people, that I make a great salad. And we've talked about this topic on here before a couple years ago, but I want to revisit it. I want to talk about what makes a satisfying salad, a salad that is delicious and is going to keep you full, because it is spring and summer, and oftentimes we are looking for those more hearty salads that are going to serve as a meal, but are also going to be really delicious and keep us full as well. So that's what I want to talk about today. Something that we know when it comes to food, both nutritionally, and I'm not speaking as a nutrition expert. I do have a background in nutrition, but I'm not speaking as a nutrition expert here. I am, and I don't consider myself an expert either. I just consider myself someone who is well-versed in nutrition. But I'm talking in general terms here. When it comes to something being satisfying, so keeping us full and being satisfying for our taste buds, we need a balance of both flavor and of nutrients. On the nutrient side of things, we know that we want our salad to have produce because it's a salad. So sometimes this is a base of greens. Sometimes this is a bunch of vegetables chopped into a chopped salad. Sometimes the greens are a base. Sometimes something else is a base, like a grain, but you want some sort of produce in there, some fruit, some veggies, usually veggies first, sometimes some fruit as well. We also need protein in our salad because I don't know about you, but just a salad without protein is not appealing, first of all, and it's definitely not satisfying. And I think we all know that we need protein to stay satiated. It's the most satiating nutrient. And then we also want some sort of a fat for a couple reasons. And this is often the dressing. Sometimes it's toppings like your nuts or your cheese or your avocado on top. Fat is both satisfying to our bodies. It helps us to feel full, but it is also satisfying to our taste buds because it adds texture. And then oftentimes we'll add some sort of additional carbs, a starch to this, like some sort of a grain or a sweet potato, something like that as well. Sometimes it's fruit or a dried fruit as well. Sometimes your salad won't have a heavy carb, and that's okay too, because we know that balance in our meals and in our lives happens over time. But for the most part, we want the produce, we want the protein, and we want some sort of a healthy fat, but we want it to taste good. So if we just have a bunch of lettuce and some dry chicken breast and some like boring fat-free dressing, it's going to get the job done, but is it really going to satisfy our taste buds? Probably not. And I know that sometimes life happens and we just need to throw something together and it does the job for the time being, but we want our food to be delicious and satisfying, especially if we have health goals, right? If we want to be eating more vegetables, upping our fiber, eating more protein, those are some of my personal goals this year as I'm working on balancing my blood sugar again. For my hormones, I say again, I'm always working on balancing my blood sugar, but it's something that's really top of mind for me personally. Doesn't mean that needs to be your goal, but I'm just using my own experience as an example here. So I have goals for that, and so salads fit the bill for that for me, but I really want it to be delicious and super satisfying for my taste buds as well as my overall body as well. So this means we need to go back to our flavor foundations. When we have variety and balance in our meals, this is what sets those restaurant salads apart from typically the salads we make at home, and how I want to help you to make the salad you make at home just as delicious as those restaurant salads. So we need to go back to the foundations of flavor. If you've listened to my podcast before, you know the three foundations of flavor, but I'm going to talk about them again really briefly. They're taste, texture, and temperature. So if everything in our meal tastes the same, it's going to be pretty darn boring. So we know our five tastes, right? Sweet, salty, bitter, sour, and umami, or as my cooking class kids like to say, tsunami. We laugh about that pretty much every week. So we have our five tastes. We don't always need all five tastes in a meal, but we need more than one. We want variety. We want more than one taste, and we also want a balance. We don't want one thing to stand out way more than everything else. Now, we can have kind of a star of the show, right? But if everything tastes like onion because you put so much onion in compared to all the other ingredients, it's not going to taste balanced. So your iceberg lettuce with cucumber and tomato and green pepper, you've got some variety and flavor, but there's not a lot there. It gets so much better when you add a dressing, but it's still not quite there. Maybe add some olives or some cheese for a bit of saltiness, or some fresh or dried fruit or candied nuts for some sweetness. Also, as an aside, please dress your greens. If you are not tossing your whole salad together, dress your greens, even if it's just a little bit of olive oil, lemon juice, salt and pepper, or just olive oil, salt and pepper. Toss that and then put the rest of your ingredients on top of your salad. Restaurant secret right there. It is going to make a world of difference. Just a little bit of kosher salt and pepper, a little bit of oil, dress your greens. I love lemon juice too, especially on arugula, but dress your greens. And then build your salad from there. So if you take that basic vegetable salad and you add some different contrasting balancing flavors on top, that is the number one thing you're going to do to really bring that flavor profile full circle. But the next thing is just as important, okay? The next foundation of flavor. So the first is taste. The second is texture. Texture is so important here when it comes to a salad. So there's a couple of things that actually stand out when it comes to a salad, though. My biggest pet peeve, if you've ever gone to a restaurant with me, I order a lot of salads. My biggest pet peeve is when salads are not bite-sized. Now, it's great to have a variety of shapes in your salad because this adds interest. It adds visual interest and it also adds interest to our taste buds, but they all need to be bite-sized, okay? If you've ever gotten a salad from like a pizza shop where they have those huge slices of tomatoes, like those big beefsteak tomatoes, and they take like one whole tomato and slice it in half and put it on your salad, or then they take the bell pepper and they slice it into these giant rings, and you can't put that in your mouth. You just can't. So it's hard to eat. And the biggest thing is that when your ingredients aren't bite-sized, and I stress this with my cooking class kids, we made salads 2 weeks in a row with my younger cooking class kids, so they're ages 5 to 9. We made a rainbow Mediterranean chickpea salad. Chickpeas were the base, with tomatoes and cucumbers and red onion and apricots and olives and feta cheese and a really yummy Greek-style vinaigrette. It was so good, but I stress to the kids, you want everything bite-sized, so not only is it easier to eat, but you get a little bit of everything in one bite. You want as much as possible in one bite because there's no reason to put all of those things on a salad if you're going to eat it all separately, right? So it really makes a difference to chop your ingredients bite-sized. If you're in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club, go back and watch my knife skills video. If you have any specific questions, reach out to me because I am always happy to help you with knife skills because having those simple knife skills that are going to help you to chop your ingredients better and have it be less stressful and have your meals taste better for it is so worth it. So the other thing that stands out when it comes to texture is, just like with taste, variety, variety, variety. You don't want everything to be the same texture. Go back to that iceberg lettuce with cucumber and tomato and green pepper. There's not a whole lot of difference in texture there. So add some croutons or tortilla strips or chopped nuts for something crunchy, something creamy like cheese or avocado. Vary that texture for more interest. So we want variety and balance of taste, variety and balance of texture, and the last foundation of flavor is temperature. A great way to make a salad stand out is to have something warm on a cold salad, or vice versa as well can work as well. So usually in the spring and summer, it is a cold salad with something warm on top. Remember that there is physical temperature, so something that is warm, like something, a warm protein on a cold salad, and then there's also perceived temperature as well. So think about something more spicy with something cooling. So think buffalo chicken and a cool ranch, or my ultimate taco salad has my jalapeno cilantro ranch dressing on top, which is a little spicy and a little bit creamy, which goes really well with the taco meat, as well as all of the fresh vegetables on that salad. And we're going to talk more about that salad in a little bit. So the key here is our taste buds want variety and balance. We want a variety and balance of tastes, of textures, and of temperatures. And we also want that when it comes to the ingredients in our salad. A salad is not truly going to be satisfying if it's just a pile of vegetables. We need some sort of protein, whether it is a meat or a seafood or an egg, or it is beans or tofu or tempeh, whatever your protein fancy. And the salads that I'm going to share with you in just a second, you can use kind of whatever protein you want. I'll give you a couple suggestions, but we want that variety and balance in taste as well as in the ingredients, having some sort of produce for fiber, some protein to keep you full, and some fat for both your satisfaction physically as well as the texture that it adds to our meals.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So what I want to take you through is how to build a satisfying salad from start to finish. And I'm going to take you through some of my favorite salads and how I kind of balance out the ingredients. This is literally how I create a salad. If I'm going to create a salad for the Healthy Mama Cooking Club or for a client or for my personal chef menu, we start always with some sort of a base. So the first question is, what is the base going to be to my salad? Is it going to be some sort of a green? Is it going to be romaine lettuce? Is it going to be kale? Is it going to be arugula? Is it going to be spring greens? Is it going to be butter lettuce? Is it going to be a grain like quinoa or farro or wild rice? What is my base going to be? The next question is, what are my veggies going to be? Typically, I start with veggies because I usually have vegetables on my salad, and I guess fruit would also fall into this category, but fruit is typically more of a flavor boost, a flavor enhancer for salads for me. So typically, I'm asking veggies. What kind of veggies, what kind of fresh veggies or cooked vegetables am I going to add on top? Because yes, cooked vegetables can definitely go in a cool salad as well. Then, of course, what sort of protein am I going to add to my salad? Or is the salad going to be more of a base and you can add some protein as you like on top of it? But most of my salads, especially the salads I'm talking about that are meal-worthy salads, have some sort of a protein on top. Maybe it's a mix and match protein, but some sort of a protein, whatever my vision for the protein on that salad is going to be. And then what, these are the most exciting parts, what flavor boost am I going to add to it to bring in that variety of taste, texture, and temperature to pull that salad together? And then, of course, what sort of dressing am I going to put on this salad? Sometimes my inspiration for a salad comes from the dressing. So I have this salad that was super, super popular in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club last year. Like, so many downloads, so many people tried it. I love seeing your photos when you make any of my recipes. So it was a balsamic steak or balsamic marinated steak salad with peaches and blue cheese and a blended basil vinaigrette. That salad was inspired by the blended basil vinaigrette. I had an overabundance of basil. I'm like, I'm going to make a really delicious, creamy basil vinaigrette. There's actually no cream or anything like that in it at all. There's some mayo to emulsify it, but just a little bit. So from there, I was sort of like, okay, what is going to go well with my blended basil vinaigrette? And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do some balsamic marinated steak, which is one of my favorites. You could also do chicken for this as well. We're going to grill it up. And what are the most fresh summer ingredients I could add to this salad? And so we added some spring greens or arugula, some fresh red onion, some fresh peaches, some blue cheese for that variety and contrast, some crunchy nuts. It is so good. And as we speak, I have that balsamic marinated steak marinating in my fridge. I'm going to do a spring version of that for dinner tonight. We have some friends coming into town, and I actually made this for family last week, and I've got to photograph it because it's definitely going into the cooking club in the next couple of weeks as well. It's got strawberries, blue cheese again, because I just love blue cheese and strawberries together, a different vinaigrette with the same steak, and some roasted arugula and some other fresh spring ingredients. It is so good. Did I say roasted arugula? I meant to say roasted asparagus. It also has arugula, but not roasted arugula. I've not tried that, and I wouldn't recommend it. Some greens work grilled, like your grilled romaine. Great way to add some texture and some temperature to your summer salad, but I wouldn't recommend it with arugula. So let's talk about how to create a satisfying salad and give you some examples of satisfying salads. I guess we already talked about how to create a satisfying salad, but here are some examples of some of my favorite salads. Before I get into these, I want to give you all of these recipes. So if you want 5 of my favorite satisfying salad recipes, head to the link in the show notes. You just put your email in and I will email those recipes to you right away. But here's the deal. If you make one, I want you to take a photo of it and I want you to send it to me. So shoot me a DM over on Instagram. Tag me in your Instagram stories. I'm at Healthy Mama Chris over there. Or just shoot me an email. I want to see you making these salads and tell me if you love them as much as I do. All right, the first satisfying salad I want to make, I just posted on Instagram a couple days ago, and it is my favorite Cobb salad. I love a great Cobb salad. My family also loves a good Cobb salad. And the reason my family loves a Cobb salad as much as I do is not only because it's satisfying and delicious, but because I serve it as a base meal. So a base meal is any meal that has the same base and you provide the toppings or the sides so that your family can mix and match. So our base for this salad is chopped fresh romaine lettuce, but you could really use any fresh lettuce you want to, and it would make a great Cobb salad. So fresh romaine lettuce. My vegetables I put on top of my Cobb salad are some chopped red onion, chopped tomatoes. You could also add in some cucumber if you wanted to as well. Protein is kind of the star of the Cobb salad. And one of the things that makes it super satisfying is that it has kind of 3 separate proteins. So I don't think I would consider bacon a protein. I'd consider it a flavor boost. So we'll say 2 different proteins. It has chicken. You could use any protein you want to, though. Here, I typically use my perfect pan-seared chicken for this. And it also has hard-cooked eggs on top. If you're not an egg fan, you can also leave these out, but I make my Instant Pot hard-cooked eggs, add these to the top. It also has bacon for a little bit of that that smokiness and that saltiness. That is a flavor boost. And then blue cheese, crumbled blue cheese. You could also use feta cheese if you wanted to for the same sort of, there's the brininess for the salad, and then some creamy avocado to finish it off. And then I serve this up with my homemade herb ranch dressing as well, but you could do a blue cheese dressing or whatever your favorite dressing is. You could do a lemony dressing if you want this a little bit more fresh. I have a mason jar Cobb salad recipe on my website that's very similar to this, but I use a lemony vinaigrette instead. It's great for lunches, but it's super packed with protein. It has a ton of different textures and a few different temperatures too, especially if you put hot bacon on there or warm chicken. And it's just such a satisfying salad. We love this one and we make it often. The next super satisfying meal-worthy salad is a farro salad. So I recently created this spring farro salad that I am lightly obsessed with. I think I created it for the spring meal plan. So my cooking club ladies are going to get it for the spring meal plan first, but I think I have to share this one on Instagram because it's just so good. So the base is obviously farro. Now, if you are gluten-free and you can't do farro, you could use brown rice or buckwheat for this instead, or you could even use quinoa as well. I think quinoa would go really great with this combination. So you don't want to use a ton of farro. It's only 2 cups of cooked farro because you want it balanced with the other ingredients. Then to that farro, I added a ton of spring veggies. So blanched asparagus and peas, some fresh radishes and red onion, add a little bit of a zing. And then the protein is actually up to you. I don't add a protein to this base salad, but typically I've served it with my perfect pan-seared chicken as well, but you could serve it with steak. You could serve it with just some hard-cooked eggs. It would be really good with salmon on top as well. And then the flavor boost, I added a ton of feta to it. Not a ton, half a cup of feta, which is salty and briny and goes really great with those spring vegetables, brightens up the farro. And then my favorite part, a ton of chopped fresh herbs, fresh dill, fresh mint, and a really delicious, zesty, and slightly sweet lemon honey dressing. So your base here is not a green, it is a grain, but you have a ton of vegetables in there. You have a ton of flavor from the feta and the fresh herbs and the lemon honey dressing, and then you could serve it with whatever protein you want. This is a great example of a different base salad, but one that is super satisfying. Now let's talk about one of my favorite longtime favorite salads that I made at home years ago. This is what I like to call a steakhouse salad. And I made this after I literally went to a steakhouse and basically ate this exact salad. And I was like, I need to recreate this at home for much less expensive and with ingredients I can recognize in the dressing, things like that. So my steakhouse salad has a base of lettuce. I like romaine and radicchio for this one. They're crisp and cool. I love the color that radicchio adds to it. And if you've never tried radicchio, it's really, really tasty. It's bitter, so it lends really well to sweetness or a creamy dressing. And then for the vegetables, basic salad veggies, tomato, cucumber, red onion. Tomato adds a little bit of acidity. Red onion adds a little hint of that bitterness and some texture to it as well. But remember that bitterness is going to be balanced out with a creamy dressing for this one. The protein for this, not surprisingly, is seared steak. I also love to add some hard-cooked egg to this as well. But you can leave that out as well. It'll still be good without that. But if you don't eat steak, you could also do chicken on this and it'll be just as good. And then flavor boosts. Again, just like with the Cobb salad, blue cheese. And I've mentioned blue cheese several times. I love blue cheese in a salad. If you're not a blue cheese fan, I know a lot of people are not blue cheese fans, didn't swap it out for something else. Feta is a good substitute. Goat cheese is a good substitute. But it adds some tanginess and a little bit of saltiness to the salad. And then I also add some sliced black olives. You can also add some croutons. The salad I got at the restaurant had croutons on it, but I kind of find that it's enough with the olives and the blue cheese, but it does add some crunch if you add those croutons to it, which is really good. And then we top it with a homemade blue cheese dressing. There's not a huge variety in texture in this salad, but there is enough that it's super satisfying. There's tons of protein. You have that creamy dressing with those cooling vegetables. You have the cold vegetables with the warm protein on top. It's really, really good and definitely a meal-worthy salad. Next up, another grain-based salad that I love, and I'm actually going to be sharing this one on Instagram in the next couple of weeks as well, is my Moroccan quinoa and roasted veggie salad. Here's an example of using cooked vegetables on your cold or warm salad. This can be served warm or cold. So I roast up some carrots and cabbage with spices for maximum flavor, and I mix these with a base of quinoa, and then chickpeas are the protein as well as quinoa to some extent for this salad. So I roast up the chickpeas alongside the carrots and the cabbage, toss it together with the quinoa, and the flavor boost and the dressing are what really pull this all together. So in this salad, you have olives, so that adds some of that brininess. You have dried cranberries. You could also use dried apricots in this salad. And the dressing is a sweet and sour orange dressing as well. Very similar to that lemon honey dressing in the farro salad. And that kind of balances out the little bit of bitterness that quinoa has. And then a new addition to the salad that I've really been enjoying is a whole bunch of chopped fresh cilantro. You can leave this out as well if you would like, or you can do parsley instead, but I love fresh herbs in my salad, so I highly recommend the chopped fresh cilantro. Oh, and last but not least, I forgot there's also some chopped almonds in that salad as well, because we want that crunch in there as well, because the quinoa, the carrots, the cabbage, especially when they are roasted with the chickpeas, there's not a huge variety of texture. The olives and the cranberries bring some texture in there, but the nuts really pull it together. And this is definitely a meal-worthy vegetarian salad. Actually, it's vegan if you do agave or maple syrup instead of the honey in the dressing. All right, next up, let's talk about a fish salad. Fish salad, that sounds gross. I mean, I love a good tuna salad or a salmon salad, you know, with mayonnaise and a bunch of, I love my Mediterranean salmon salad, so good. I love a classic tuna salad, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, let's see if I say seafood salad, that also brings like the mayo salad with like the crab stick and the shrimp, which I also enjoy, but not in this context. So a salad with fish on top. We're talking about my honey Dijon salmon niçoise salad. This is a recipe that I made years ago and is still a staple in our family. I love those recipes that I made a long time ago, and my family, when I pull it out a couple times a year, they are still just as in love with. So this is a twist on the classic niçoise salad, which is usually made with tuna. I serve it with a honey Dijon salmon. Honey and Dijon are just a match made in heaven. The zestiness of the Dijon mustard, especially a whole grain Dijon mustard, with the sweetness of honey is so good. And so I glaze the salmon with that honey Dijon, and I also use some of those ingredients, the honey and the Dijon, in a French-inspired shallot herb dressing, which is the dressing that goes on the salad. So those ingredients are kind of found throughout the salad. So the base to the salad is either crisp romaine lettuce or spring greens, which is my favorite, especially when spring greens are fresh in the springtime from the farmer's market. So good. For vegetables, you actually have blanched green beans on this salad, which adds a really, really nice unexpected texture. Some grape tomatoes and roasted sweet potatoes or roasted potatoes, which are traditional on a niçoise salad. Also traditional on a niçoise salad are hard-cooked eggs. Again, I know there are three recipes I mentioned with hard-cooked eggs, but they're just so good on a salad. You can leave this off if you want to, as well as Kalamata olives, which are a great flavor boost. So the sweet potatoes, I think, add a flavor boost as well, more so than regular potatoes, because they do add some texture to the salad, but they also add that sweetness, which works really, really well with the other ingredients in the salad, especially the juxtaposition of the Kalamata olives that are salty with the sweet potatoes, the creamy hard-cooked eggs. It works really well together with that shallot herb dressing. And of course, the sweet and zesty honey Dijon salmon. So that one is really, really great. You've got to try that one. It's a really good spring salad that's different than I think a lot of the salads that we typically eat, at least here in the U.S. And last, but certainly not least, we have to talk about the not-so-humble taco salad. In my not-so-humble opinion, I make the best taco salad. Okay, here's how it goes. I call this the ultimate taco salad. This is a cooking club recipe, and I am sharing it with you for being a podcast listener in those five recipes that I told you. Go to the show notes, click the link, add your email. I'll send you all five recipes. I think a taco salad should have all of the taco ingredients, but up-leveled. I want this to taste like the best taco I've ever tasted, but also have a bunch of greens and vegetables and nutrients, all that jazz. So my base is always crisp greens. I love crisp romaine, but you can also do spring greens here as well. You could do butter lettuce if you wanted to. Whatever your crisp greens are, nice and crisp greens at the bottom. We're going to add some tomatoes, some onion. I like white onion, but red onion works well as well for this salad. And broiled corn. I like to take my broiled corn or my corn. I usually use frozen, but in the summertime, definitely use fresh. You can cut it off the cob, roast it up with a little bit of avocado oil, some cumin, some chili powder, a little bit of sea salt, maybe some garlic powder. This adds some sweetness and another layer of flavor and some texture to your salad as well. For protein, of course, you need some homemade taco meat. So typically I use beef, but you can use whatever ground meat or meatless meat you want to. I use my homemade taco seasoning, cook that up. I also add some beans on top. Now you could skip the meat and just do the beans, but I really love the combination. You can use pinto beans or black beans here. And then the flavor boosts are what make this salad. So sharp cheddar, or cotija cheese, which is my favorite. You can also use feta as a sub. Cotija is a fresh Mexican style cheese, or fresh style Mexican cheese, I should say. Fresh or pickled jalapenos. I love both of those on top. Either one. The pickled jalapenos obviously have a little bit of that brininess to them. You could also skip these and use pickled red onions instead of the other chopped onion that you added to the salad. And then you could even do pickled onions and fresh jalapenos if you wanted to. Mix this up however you want to. I do not think it is a taco salad without avocado or guacamole, so that's a must. Some chopped avocado, and my favorite, some crushed up tortilla chips. You have to put crushed up tortilla chips on your taco salad. It adds the best texture. You can mix this up with some sliced black olives as well, some chopped cilantro, some lime wedges to sprinkle some lime juice on top, and of course, for your dressing, my cilantro jalapeno ranch dressing or my chipotle ranch dressing. Now, I call them ranch dressings because of the kind of general combination of ingredients, but they're just dressings. Okay, so if you don't like ranch, just get that out of your head. There's no dill or chives in these. It's jalapeno cilantro or chipotle and lime. They're so good. My family is obsessed with them. My six-year-old calls the jalapeno cilantro ranch yummy sauce. And the other day I served a Cobb salad with the homemade herb ranch dressing, which she loves. And she was like, do you have any yummy sauce? I'm like, no, not today, babe. And she's like, aww. Like, if we don't keep it on hand all the time, she is disappointed. So you've got to try that one. If there's one thing I pride myself in, it's making amazing sauces. I have a whole episode on sauces and I need to do a whole other one because I love a good sauce, and a sauce makes a bowl or a salad or a meal in general. Sauces make the culinary world go round. So any of the dressings I've mentioned, you've got to learn how to make a homemade dressing. It is so, so simple. Your basic vinaigrette is a ratio of 3 to 1 oil to vinegar, and then add in your flavor boost from there. Add in your salt. Add in, or instead of vinegar, you could also use a citrus as well, like lemon juice, lime juice, or orange juice as well. I should mention that. Add in your salt. Add in your Dijon. Add in your garlic. Add in your dried seasonings, your fresh seasonings. Now, I'm talking about a vinaigrette, not a blended dressing here. Add in your chopped shallot. Vinaigrette's so easy to make. Blended dressings are so easy to make. Learn how to make homemade dressings. They will make your salads so much better. But really, just understanding this basic salad formula, the base, the veggies, the protein, the flavor boost, the dressing, understanding that satisfaction comes from both making sure there's a balance of nutrients, getting in that produce, getting in that protein, getting in that fat, maybe a starch in there too, as well as the foundations of flavor, your taste, your texture, your temperature is going to make a world of difference in your cooking, especially when you are making the most satisfying salad. So I hope through this episode you can see how we can really amp up that satisfaction factor of just a very basic salad and make a salad that is crazy delicious and actually worthy of a full meal. And we more often than not serve these up as base meals in our family, where we all have the lettuce as the base or whatever it is as the base, other than the grain salads, which you could also serve as a base meal. But typically I throw those together and usually have a separate protein on top. But typically we serve them. We've got the lettuce. We've got all of the vegetables out. We've got a dressing or two out. We have all the different flavor boosts, and the kids can mix and match. And my husband and I can mix and match, even though both of us typically put everything on, and we can have our own favorite combination of ingredients. As I've said so many times, base meals really reduce food fights, and they just make meals so much more enjoyable. You are making a meal that's customized to the different members of your family without making a separate meal, because you are not a short order cook. I've been there, done that, and I don't want to be one again either. So I think that this is a great way to serve your family a meal that is dense in nutrients and flavor and easier on you as well. So I hope you will enjoy some really delicious salads this spring and summer. Don't forget to click the link in the show notes. Add your email. I will send you all 5 of these recipes I shared with you today. If you want a ton more recipes, including a ton of salads in the spring and summer, you know, we're talking 200 plus recipes, plus maybe weekly meal plans, bonus podcasts, cooking tips, maybe our spring seasonal cookbook, access to live cooking classes, and so much more, you've got to join us over on Patreon, patreon.com/healthymamachris. Come and join us in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. I love sharing with all of you over there. I have a lot coming up in my life. Like I mentioned, we have lots of family coming over the month of April. In May, my husband leaves to go up north for the summer to do his job up there in the summertime. He's a sailor. And we're going to be up there in June and July. And I start my June and July work as a private chef up north, traveling with my husband's team for a while. I have some clients up there as well. So I've got a lot going on. So I will not be on social media as much. Obviously, I'll be on the podcast until the summertime. Then we take a little summer break and then I come back around the school year. But you can definitely find me. You will continue to find me. The number one place I'm going to be is over on Patreon. So now's a great time to check it out and see if it might be for you. You can try it out for a week free and get a meal plan and see how the meal plans work. And like I said, we have our brand new recipe library coming out before all that craziness happens this summertime. So that'll be set up for you and ready to go. All right, friends, thank you so much as usual for listening to this podcast. I appreciate you so much. I hope this is helpful. I can't wait for you to try these salad recipes. That's what I've got for you today. Until next time, happy cooking.
Thank you for listening to Mommy's Podcast.
Friend, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Healthy Mama Kitchen Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you love to listen to podcasts so you never miss a cooking tip. If you've been loving this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you left a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It truly makes a difference in how many other busy cooks find this show and lets me know what you're loving and want to hear more of. For show notes and links to all the recipes and tools I mention, head to healthymamachris.com/podcast. For daily eats, cooking tips, and family-friendly shortcut dinner ideas, be sure to follow along over on Instagram at Healthy Mama Chris. Remember, cooking for your family may not always feel easy, but it can be simple.